Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Rarkus.
And Brian Keller's somewhere in Western Europe.
I think he's held up at the border somewhere.
So if you have a sighting, send us some. Let us know that he's safe.
Yeah. Give us a Where's Brian picture.
Exactly. Photoshop yourself in. So let's get right into the news. Lots of stuff going on. John Papa blogged about the house builder demo he did at Mix.
Yes.
So what this is a Silverlight 5 application using 3D and 3D models. Does a lot of cool features, you know, relative source ancestor, debug data binding, all the wonderful cool stuff in the Silverlight 5 beta. You can now play with this. So if you haven't yet, check out the day 2 keynote as well. Check out the demo. It definitely is a fun one. There's a nice picture of the goo in there.
A little Easter egg.
Yeah, and you can build your own house, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably the cool part, and even see things like the price list and stuff like that.
I'm still waiting for the Doom Silverlight 3D.
Doom and Silverlight 3D. I think somebody will take you up on that.
I know.
So, another Kirill Osenkov, is that?
I believe so, yes.
Just to get that name right. So Kirill's written for us before for Coding for Fun for his live geometry project.
With and now he ported for the phone. So now you can learn about rhombuses, you know, Pythagorean theorem.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. And
just do a bunch of interesting math things. And it's basically a kind of like a graphing calculator on your phone now.
Yeah, so these are actually interactive. And you can like drag points and basically play with it, but it's very cool. It actually includes 35 drawings like these that are interactive, so lots of stuff to play with.
Awesome.
Love it. A real developer site.
Yes, so this was Jeff Kloss. I hope I pronounced his last name correctly, which the look on your face says I didn't.
I have no idea. Sure.
But he spent the weekend poking around Web Matrix and built this a site that basically people can go in and say, like, a real developer doesn't write code, or doesn't write email, he writes code, which probably makes both of us not real developers.
Yeah, it excludes me, because I live on email. A real developer has code on his t-shirt.
My favorite is, has changed live code in production at least once.
Begrudgingly. So this is kind of fun to play with, and of course, I think the cool part, too, is just, you know, playing around with Web Matrix. It's just so easy to build stuff. You can just launch a side project, and it got Hanselman and Ray Bango picked it up. So, cool stuff.
Awesome.
Solver Foundation. So, think about this. This is Soma blogging about a new DevLabs project. So, the way the Solver works is it basically, you plug in certain filter conditions, criteria, your data, and it'll solve the algorithm for you.
So, you set up some different...
In this example, it's the classic four-color country thing where you want all these countries, some of them are borders with each other, and none of them can have the same color. So you can't have red on red. You need red, yellow, red, for example.
Yeah, so I would call this a Microsoft interview question solver.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, just looking at this example, like, hey, there's a decision on what the color should be for Belgium, France, Denmark, and then here are the countries, like, all these four need to be different than these three because they're actually borders. And solve. I mean, it's that easy.
And then I can do also things like Sudoku. You're joking about doing the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to do, but Sudoku definitely, and some of the other ones. So scheduling is also another one. So, like, you know, a lot of times we do events like Mixer PDC, and Mike Swanson was on a while ago. Some of the generational examples that he had done. Figuring out how to get the right schedule.
Wow.
So this is something that you could do as well, which is, you know, speaker A needs to be at this location by speaker B. You want a good distribution of top-rated ones. You want a good distribution of...
Yeah, and then you have to worry about, like, well, this speaker's getting four talks, how to properly schedule
How do you do the four talks? How do you make sure not all ASP.NET ones are against each other? How do you make sure, you know...
You don't have, 800 Azure sessions at the same point.
Yeah.
It's a surprisingly hard thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, cool stuff. And again, you know, play with it. Let us know what you think. So Combat Extractor, what's this?
Okay, so this is part of, I believe, the IE9 blog posted about this.
Yeah.
And it's a JavaScript file that you can put into your site before it goes live, and it will go in and basically inspect the entire site and say, here are the things that will break when if someone comes in IE9 because they made kind of gross
generalizations
on what to do. So an example here was the create element API no longer accepts angle brackets, where it basically gives recommendations on how to solve that, or hey, you might want to get the new version of a JavaScript package.
Right, so like somebody's saying if IE as opposed to saying if IE this version, if IE that version.
Yeah.
Cool. Definitely cool stuff, and this is all part of the, I think it's the IE9 compatibility cookbook that talks a lot about making sure that sites work great on IE9, so cool stuff. Now this example, Scott Mitchell posted, and this is using ASP.NET Web Forms. The idea is to build sort of a Reddit, or maybe Dig for people that are old school, I guess.
Like,
Dig
dislike.
Is old. Yeah, like, dislike. You can see it on the side there, and how you actually go about building that, including the back-end service, the membership service, and all that stuff. So if you're looking to do that, this is a great example to just see how to do it. So love it.
Cool.
This is me in a nutshell. So Greg Duncan blogged about this. In fact, a lot of people inside Microsoft have been using this, like... admins for their execs to basically see where, you know, 90% of their time is actually in meetings or something like that.
I automatically believe that.
So for people like me that actually use their calendar, use categories, this is awesome. I did try and install this. You actually have to install this app and then install Power Pivot and make sure you get the right version, because I actually got blocked on install because I had Office 32 on an X64 machine. You need Power Pivot 32.
Okay, yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So just make sure that you have the right versions there. But I love this. I love the fact that you can actually break down and, you know, there's going to be a This Week on Channel 9. It's probably going to be about 20% of my week.
Yeah. I'm just very happy that you don't add in your calendar when people do drive-by meetings.
Yes.
Cause then, or like the mix time schedule for, or pre-mix schedule for me is like that. Post-mix or during mix, it's like the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty bad.
It's like, Dan, I need this expensive part shipped overnight.
Well, we had to write some code, get a chair moving.
Yeah.
Crazy ideas.
Cool.
Definitely play with this, and it is a free download. Now, free WP7 tools.
Yes.
What's this?
Okay, so he talks about the free WP7 frameworks and tools, like such as the Silverlight Toolkit, the MVVM Light Toolkit, and my favorite, Coding for Fun Toolkit, because I wrote it.
Right.
But it's all about... Here are some
and there's
very,
others too.
Yeah,
it's
there's more. Things. There's Phony, and there's like five or six more after that. But he talks about here are the reasons why you might want to look into these, and it helps. These toolkits help make your app a better app.
Yeah, totally agree. So cool stuff, and I always like the recap thing. So it's like next time you're picking up a WP7, it's like, oh, let me see what frameworks and what's actually supported, not supported in each of these. So Windows Shell Extension. So this article released while we were probably in our mix, heads down. Yeah, exactly. Our Project Jelly Bean. But the idea here is to build a Windows Shell Extension. So by Windows Shell Extension, you can kind of see the graphic here where you're in Windows Explorer, you right-click on a file, and you're able to do some sort of action.
Yeah.
How cool would it be to be able to do that? Well, it's kind of a pain. And you have to know how to do it, and you have to know how to actually build a COM DLL. So, because everything's in process COM, and this walks through the basics. So if you're looking to do it, so you can do the CSS shell context menu handler and all that wonderful stuff based on the actual file type you're doing. So if it's a media file, maybe I want to do something to it.
Or CS, like right-click, open in Visual Studio, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean... Sometimes I'm happy that it's very complex to do it, and other times it's very annoying that it's very complex to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it to be easier.
You want it to be easier, but at the same time, I'm just like deathly afraid of like you install five apps, now you right-click, and you get this giant context menu is what I'm deathly afraid of.
So certainly it'd be nice if there was a way to manage that.
Yep.
Right? But I love the hacks you put in for like right-click to do Visual Studio Command Prompt here.
Ooh, that would be sweet.
No, it exists.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. See? See, don't you want that? It's like, oh, I'm in here. Really, what I need to do is do something. Boom, you have it right there. So you can MS okay. Build or whatever you need to do. So cool stuff. Definitely check out this article. Windows Azure Platform Training Kit. So with the new updates at Mix, they also did an April update of the Azure Training Kit. So there's a lot of new stuff in here.
So they did a lot more, or they updated and added in new hands-on labs, such as the Phone 7 app, which talks about ACS, OData services, and Windows Azure, and how to authenticate users, build it out. Cetera,
the new features of Traffic Manager, which seems to be a thing that basically lets you say where do you want to source your stuff, or if there's any issues, you can kind of control that in. I think it's in a CDP right now.
Yeah, and they talked about like the Azure CDN.
Reporting services. For people that have never used reporting services on Azure, you can play around with that as well. It's another hands-on lab. So a lot of stuff to be able to say there's new bits. Here's the way to use the new features
and
of those bits.
And if you are looking to use Azure or are using Azure, I still suggest you check it out.
Okay.
Picks of the week. So I'm a fan of listening to This Developer's Life by Scott Hanselman and Rob Connery. And this week's was criticism. And I'm a strong believer that developers suck at taking criticism. I think we take a huge, we have a lot of pride in our work.
Sure.
And then when someone goes, you know, what the hell were you thinking? It hurts. And I think we both need to learn how to take it better and how to give it. So Ayende Rahim, I hope.
The guy,
I pronounce his last name and first name correctly. He does some tools with Hibernate and does consulting.
Sure.
And he was talking about, you know, going in and giving criticism, and when he goes in and does consulting, he, you know, tears things apart, and he talks about giving criticism on the product versus attacking the person, which is pretty, I mean, it's a big difference. But at the end of the day, it's still something that, like, you built, and I'm saying it sucks.
Yeah,
it hurts.
Well, I think the other challenge is certainly you see it in criticism of folks is not understanding the context of why something's built.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you release something on, you know, open source, and here's the scenario that it was trying to build, which is a very simple way to do blah. And then somebody's like, well, this will never scale. And it's like, well, it's never designed to scale. This is, you know, for somebody that needed to do X, Y, Z, and understanding they tend to apply very general criticism for, you know, if your web app can't scale, well, you don't need a scaling web app for blah.
Yeah.
Or whatever that situation
is. My blog doesn't need to scale past one server.
Right. I don't need to, you know, abstract out all these things and add unit testing for something that I'm, you know, doing a very basic
sample. Abstracting out your database, you know, to the nth degree when it's, well, yeah, we tried that and it would cause
voice cod normal form if you're not using that.
And it would cause severe database performance issues by doing it that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, even the extreme, which is, you know, you're doing it wrong and that doing it wrong actually, you know, if you were to do that, it would actually kill performance.
Or, like, I'm a firm believer of saying, okay, well, this isn't good, but this is how you can fix it. And here are the reasons why I think this is wrong. Like, you need to back up the criticism and make it shift it into more of a positive thing rather than just saying it's.
Well,
sucks.
I think some of the times it's situational criticism, like, hey, if you try and scale this out, you're going to run into this issue unless you change this.
Yeah, I mean, that is perfect.
It'll never happen. Okay, which is my pick of the week, which is Microsofty building a 737 cockpit in his house. So. He's got like the three screen flight sim, and every single control and all of them are mapped into flight sim. So you really have to see the video to kind of appreciate it. But this is super cool, like in terms of the altimeter and
all the little gadgets and that's
actually does a real mapping. So you get to see him flying, and it's raining and everything else. So
that's just it's awesome and scary at the same time.
Yeah,
like I want that in my office.
I think it'd be so much fun to play with. Just, you know, just doing knobs and stuff. So.
No, what are you doing?
No. All right, so that's our show this week, and thank you, Clint.
Thank you, Dan.
And we'll see you guys next week.